we are so glad to know that you were able to invite us in your living rooms or wherever you are at this time to listen to the Apostolic Church in America present the gospel to all of us here tonight. I want to give God thanks for those wonderful testimonies, reminding us of the fact that Jesus is still in control and working in the lives of all of us. To God be the glory. We look forward to your company each time that we are having service, whether it is on a Tuesday night or on a Sunday morning. And we give God the glory for you who could keep coming from time to time. Sometimes we see numbers and we don't know the individuals. But we are glad to know that you are here. And sometimes we are conscious of the fact that there are those who are sharing their phones with other friends or family. And we are giving God thanks for you as well. We are so glad that you keep supporting these meetings. And we know that we are not just one place. We can be heard in all the states. All we need is a telephone. And we invite you to invite others from time to time so that we will always have a good company of people as we come together in these services. Tonight, as was said, is the Evangelical Night, a night in which we minister the gospel. And of course, you heard the testimonies and the wonderful courses that were sung. We give God thanks for our sister Janine, who came over tonight to help us in this song service. And if you were here on Sunday morning, you would have heard her ministering to us from God's word. And what a blessing that was, for me personally and for all of us. I'm going to read to us a portion of God's word tonight to go along with that passage Sister Barbara read earlier on. And it is from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 2, 2 and 3. I go ahead and read while you're looking. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedient receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts as we continue to look on what he has to say to us tonight. And I'd like to minister under the topic tonight for a little while. The agony before victory. The agony before victory. As we look primarily on the passage that was read by Sister Barbara. Many of us as Christians, right here in this service, will testify that there are times in our Christian walk that we encounter situations that brings pain to our bodies and bring pain to our hearts. Many times we go through different situations of which we say to ourselves, we wish it was not so while we are in it. But it is not until afterwards that we discover that out of this situation comes victory. Oftentimes it happens to Christians. Out of a certain experience flows victory that we did not see. This is not the way we would have curved it. But this is the way in which it happens. Victory comes after a time of agony. The word agony is not my word. The word agony is a word that comes from the passage. And the meaning of, and in regards to how it is used in the passage, it speaks to intense pain of the mind or body. The word agony means intense pain of the mind or body. A violent struggle or contest. So when we talk about agony, we are talking about a deep experience, a deep feeling that comes from the inside, for the most part. As was said here in verse, in the passage that we have read, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. St. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Describing Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, encountering pain of the mind, which you and I will not be able to explain because of the depth of what Luke, being a doctor, understand the function of the body. And what he described here speak to us that it was agony in a way that we have not experienced. And so sometimes we come in church like this. Sometimes we don't seem to think that what we are experiencing, it came from a place of sacrifice. Sometimes we take church for granted. But I want to remind the church tonight that what we are enjoying, what we enjoy on Sunday, and what we enjoy in other ministry, it did not just came about like that. It came from somewhere. It came from a place where sacrifice was offered. So as it calls us to come into this setting where we can worship and where we can glorify God and where we can give Him thanks. My brothers and my sisters, I would like all of us to remember that when Jesus was kneeling there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was not kneeling there in ignorance. He was kneeling there knowing fully well what is about to happen to him. Every minute detail was passing before the eyes of the mind who knows everything. In fact, St. John chapter 18. Listen to what St. John chapter 18 said to us. St. John chapter 18, verse 4. It says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Let me elaborate here for a little while before I go back to St. Luke.
Again.
The word said Jesus knows all things. While he was here in the garden, he saw how aggressive the people are going to be in bringing him before the magistrate, before Pilate, before Herod. He knows those things are passing before his eyes. As he who knows all things, he saw how they are going to pluck his beard. He saw who it is that was going to box him. He saw the whipping that he is going to take in his back. He saw the condition of his back when they were finished, all look like ground beef. He saw the pain. He saw the agony. He saw how they spat in his face. He saw how they put that cross upon his back, and he would not bear the weight of it. And somebody else had to come. He saw them nailing him to the cross. He saw the elevate the cross and slam it down into that hole. He saw the spear going through his side. All of that was passing before the eyes of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word said he knows all things that were going to happen to him. Can I say something to the church?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jesus' hands were not tied. Jesus' feet were not bound. Jesus could have run away into this court. If you are charged for a particular crime, the judge might be hesitant in granting you bail. And when I say you, I'm not so much talking about the audience here. You mean plural. Anybody. The judge might be hesitant in granting us bail based on the type of crime. And why is it so? Because we might be considered a flight risk. We might run away to other places to get away from the crime committed. We might not even go out of the country. We might still be in the country, but we cannot be found. Considering the magnitude of the punishment, but Jesus would not run away. Hallelujah, church. As much as he saw what is going to happen, Jesus did not run away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was not a flight risk. In fact, as we read here, as we read further down in John chapter 18, we discover that Jesus came before the crowd. Hundreds of men came to arrest Jesus. Jesus came before the crowd and asked them if it was he that they were seeking. Hallelujah! told Jesus that they were seeking Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus said, I am he. The word tells us that every single one of them fell backwards to the ground. But this Jesus, who has that ability, who has that authority, who has that power, saw in the Garden of Gethsemane everything that was about to happen to him. And guess what? Jesus walked off. He walked off. This flesh cries out under the pressure. He has not yet received a blow, but his flesh cries out and says, I am not able to manage it. And I'm so glad tonight to tell you that because of the determinate counsel of God, his deity would not come to his rescue in the sense of shielding him from Calvary. He had to go to Calvary. Church, can I tell you that Jesus could not have died from a heart attack before he reached Calvary? Jesus could not have died from a blow received from anybody before he reaches Calvary.
Amen.
Jesus could not have committed suicide because he must reach Calvary. Jesus, instead of backing away, in St. John we are told that after Jesus fed so many of those people, they wanted to turn him into a king. They wanted to make him king. And what did Jesus do? Jesus slipped away from them. Instead of falling to their desire to turn him into a king, elevation, he backed away and he went into the mountain, we are told. John 6:15. But here, Jesus saw Calvary and all the Calvary involves. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came forward and said, I am he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk about the world behind me and the cross before me. That is what Jesus did. The church tonight need to remember that we are here because of a sacrifice. The church tonight need to remember that we are here because it cost somebody his entire life. And Jesus knelt down there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And Luke, being a doctor, as I have said before, described his sweat falling to the ground as if it were drops of blood. In agony, the pain of the mind, the pain in the spirit, hallelujah, caused his body to bat off. And Jesus said to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. That's why we are here tonight. Because he surrendered his will to the Father. He surrendered his will to the Father. And his flesh, which was reluctant in going to Calvary, had to follow suit. Hallelujah. 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 So somebody see us going to church. Somebody hear us testifying. Somebody see us praising the Lord. We are not just doing it because we get up on the right side of the bed. We are doing it because somebody died for us. Hallelujah. Somebody died for us. Somebody paid a price. Somebody surrendered his life for the church. And that's why we are here tonight, worshiping and glorifying the Father.
Wow.
The agony before victory. Not only that Jesus, swept to the ground was described the way in which Luke described it. But there is a piece of information that we find Matthew did not carry, Mark did not carry, Luke did not carry, John did not mention it, that is relevant to this gospel presentation tonight. But the blessed Holy Spirit will have it, that the church be informed about this piece of information. And the Holy Spirit move up on the writer, the heart of the writer, to the Hebrews to bring us this piece of information which is relevant to our presentation tonight. And it is Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I don't know why the four Gospels did not bring this, but we are seeing where the Holy Ghost would not let it go unnoticed, because it is important. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It reads like this. Who in the days of his flesh, speaking about Jesus, when he was offered up, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Let me read it again. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Hebrews is reporting this piece of information to us. With all the gospel writers in regards to the Garden of Gethsemane did not mention that Jesus was heard crying in the garden there with a loud voice. He was crying. crying with a loud voice in the Garden of Gethsemane under the pressure as he agonized for the souls of men. Not only that he was crying, the word said he was crying with tears. So not only sweat was falling to the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane, but tears was also flowing from Jesus' eyes in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus was bawling out under the pressure. Under the pressure of Calvary. If it be possible, he prayed to the Father, let this cup, the cup of Calvary, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we are told that Jesus prayed this prayer three times. It was no joke, saints. It was no joke. Jesus was looking at Calvary with all his challenges. And he realized that there would be no painkiller to help him. He will have to face death head on, as it were, experiencing all the different sections and the different ridicule and the shame and awful experience of Calvary. Jesus saw all of those passing before his very eyes in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah. 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 To be in church tonight. Oh, to be in church tonight, enjoying ourselves with the singing and the testimony and the fellowship that we're having. It did not just came about because today is Tuesday, but it came about because one day, the Son of God, the Son of God, surrendered his life as a ransom for sinners. Songwriter said, when I survey the wondrous cross in which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count the loss with pure contempt of all my pride. We worship him tonight, who knows more than us. We glorify him tonight, who walk alone. We worship, we praise him for the church that he has established based on the sacrifice of his own self. Peter said he bore my sins in his body. Hallelujah. 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 In agony. In agony. He prayed more earnestly. That's what the word says. But if we go back to Hebrews for a second. That passage there, Hebrews chapter 5, 7, part of it says, towards the end said, and he was heard. Hallelujah. He was heard. He was heard in heaven. Sometimes you pray and you believe your prayer is not being heard. Your prayers are being heard, saints. Hallelujah. Your prayers are being heard. The word said he was heard. As a result of that, what we see manifestation that Jesus' prayer was heard in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word tells us in 43, verse 43, and there appeared unto him, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. From heaven, straightening him. Not just an angel appear from him. And you and I know are wondering, where did the angel came from? The word clearly tells us that it came, the angel came from heaven. Straightening the master at the time when he needed the strength. You know what he said to his disciples before he started praying? He said to them, tarry here and watch with me. Watch with me. Tarry here and watch with me. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we discover when Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. It was a tense moment in the life of Jesus. He was battling principalities and powers to give birth to the church. Hallelujah. Heard our sisters testifying tonight. Testifying with conviction and purpose. But my sisters, God bless you. But it caused Jesus' life to allow you to testify.
That's right.
He bawled out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. And its perspiration was like blood falling to the ground. When I read this, I said to myself, I'm glad that I have a high priest who can be touched with the very feeling of my infirmity. Hallelujah. When I am in pain, Jesus understands because he has been there. Hallelujah. When I am troubled in my spirit, Jesus understands because he has been there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight we can rejoice that we have a high priest who can be touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. But he had to go through agony. He had to go through the agony so as to get victory. When Jesus finally rise up from Gethsemane and go to his disciples, he found them asleep. And that is what happened today. The church, in a moment when we should be active, calling back the force of the enemy, the church seemingly is asleep. Is asleep. In Matthew, Jesus speaks to this same thing. And Jesus and the servant in his vineyard, in the master's vineyard, said, when since we sow tares among the wheat, the master said, while men slept, the enemy came and sow bad seed. Church, we better realize that it is dangerous to fall asleep at this time. Because the enemy is moving around so sowing seed while we are asleep. But as God was able to dispatch an angel from heaven to strengthen Jesus, I believe with all my heart at this time that despite the fact that the church seemed to be slumbering, the Lord is going to dispatch his anointing in the midst of this situation to wake up the church and to cause the church to realize that there is something that the Lord wants us to do. Just like how the angel came to Jesus to do the work of the disciples who were asleep, the Lord is going to raise up a situation through the blessed Holy Spirit to bring about life and light to the world at this time. It is my firm conviction.
Yeah.
So what is the result of Jesus going through agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? As a result of this, he came out victorious. Because in my opinion, Jesus won the battle of Calvary in the Garden of Gethsemane. His mind was
fixed.
His mind was made up in the Garden of Gethsemane after experiencing all these encounters. As Isaiah described, he set his face like a flint towards Calvary, and nothing could stop him from here going forward. He was prepared to endure the cross with all its shame. He was able to look on the cross and said, "You have no shame. You are trying to shame me, but you have no shame. You have no power over me." Because of the encounter, the agony he experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came out victorious. So my friend, the final thought I'd like to share with us tonight on two levels. The word tells us that he who spear not his only son, but offer him up. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. But offer him up. He did not spear Jesus, his only son, who was sinless, had no sin. The Father did not spear him, but consider the importance of bringing many sons into glory. So that as much as you have no sin, you will have to die in order to redeem the offspring of Adam. And then in Hebrews, we read, "How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation?" Somebody said you cannot neglect something if you didn't have it. Let me say this to us, that there are many people who have rejected the gospel. There are many people, those who are Rastafari and embrace Selassie as God, have rejected the gospel message. There are many in the Muslim bloc who embrace Muhammad. They have rejected the gospel message. communist back who support Confucius. They are rejected. But that's the message. There are many today boast about Buddha. Have rejected the gospel message. And especially India. They believe in agnostic. They believe in many gods. Even the cow is a god. Have rejected the gospel message. But what about those who would come to church? Those who would listen to the telephone and will never surrender to Jesus. What about them? They have not rejected the gospel message, but they have ignored the gospel message. They have neglected the gospel message that is in their midst. And the Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect such great a salvation? Oftentimes, I was struggling with the thought that a loving God, would send a man to hell and watch him burn in hell. I struggle with the thought of until not too long ago. Then I realized that God will be justified in doing so because of what he allowed Jesus to go through, his only son, that he did not hold back, but allow him to go through the agony of death to redeem humanity. And they have neglected, they have rejected, they have ignored the salvation that came out of the garden of Gethsemane. How shall we escape? God is going to be justified. God, justice will be satisfied. If somebody rejected, if somebody ignored, if somebody neglected the salvation that cost Jesus his life, God, justice will be satisfied in seeing that person being destroyed in hell. Because Jesus gave his all to him, I hope. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washes white as snow. That's the reason why we are having these meetings. That's the reason why we are having this meeting. And I don't know how far we are tonight in terms of people listening to us. But I am glad for the opportunity that we can tell somebody that salvation cause Jesus is life. Read it in the gospel. And it is on that level that God will be justified in meeting out punishment to those who neglect such salvation. We heard Jesus cry at Lazarus' graveside. We heard Jesus cry when he came down on the Mount of Olives and looked over Jerusalem and saw in his own knowledge what is going to happen to Jerusalem. The word tells us that Jesus wept. But what the gospel did not tell us, the writer to the Hebrews, through the blessed Holy Spirit, reminding us that Jesus also wept in the Garden of Gethsemane as he agonized in bringing many souls into glory. shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Thank God for the witness of the algebra. Thank God for the witness of our brothers and our sisters, witnessing to the fact that this had happened sometime in the past. And the same Jesus who went through that is with us tonight. And he's delighted to hear us speak to that truth. The question is, what are we going to do with what Jesus did? I invite your friends, as you are here tonight, to say yes to Jesus. In Deuteronomy, the Lord said, I offer you life and death. And then the Lord seemed to nudge us on. He said, choose life. Choose life that you might live. And I'm saying the same thing to you tonight. Choose life. It cost Jesus everything.
Amen. Yeah.
Wherever you are tonight, will you, Reverend, bow your head before the Lord? Think about it. About the sin in Gethsemane, a man without sin, offering up his life that you and I might live. Think about it. It doesn't matter what you do. It is not the sin that you have is a problem. It is the fact that you reject the offer that is made on your behalf to cleanse you from sin. For where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Think about it for a minute. Don't let world amusement, entertainment, and attraction rob you of your salvation. Think about Jesus, who could have been made king, and he walked away from it. But he gave up his life for Calvary. Think about that. It was for you. Shall we pray? Father, we worship you tonight for what you have done.
Yes.
You have done all things well. We thank you that sin need to get a blow. And Jesus stepped into that monster. And Jesus came out victorious. And he said, I have overcome the world. And Lord God, just like how he has overcome the world, it is us to overcome it as well, because we are in him. And so tonight I pray for my friend who are here in the service with us. Maybe not in the state of Florida, but somewhere else. But God, you would have it that somebody listen to this word tonight, realizing that amidst all of the different situations out there in the world that are attracting people and taking away people's attention, there is still a man in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing for the souls of men. His name is Jesus. And we pray, God, that the salvation that he brought will reach somebody's heart tonight. You are not safe, and you know that. You are not safe. You have never committed your life to the Lord. But yet, you would support your wife to go to church. You have not committed yourself to the Lord, but you support your husband to go to church. You have not committed your life to the Lord, but you agree that the children should go to Sunday school. And while we are glad for that, our concern here in this meeting tonight is that you will accept the provision that is made for you.
Yeah.
Don't ignore the provision. Accept Jesus. And I want to say to somebody here, I don't know who it is that I'm praying for, but when Jesus is about to heal somebody, Jesus had a talk with that person. Will you be made whole? What is it that you want me to do for you? And so on and so forth. Somebody came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me whole. You can cleanse me of this leprosy. Jesus said, I will. And he was cleansed immediately. Jesus wants to have a little discussion with somebody. And that's why we ask over this telephone line if there is somebody who would like to make a change. Because when you speak, something happens inside. You are putting words in a place where your heart is telling you. And so that's why we ask, is there somebody who would like us to pray with you? Speak and said, pray for me, that I might give my heart to the Lord. If we hear that prayer, we know that you are seeking the Lord. And that's why we are asking tonight, is there such a one in our midst? Who would like to walk with the Lord in a purposeful way? Let it be known tonight by saying, pray for me, that I might walk the Lord. Is there such a one? Is there such a one? Maybe you were walking with the Lord, and for some reason, you have grown weary. You have grown tired, and you are not committed as you should. Pray for me that I might be more committed to the Lord. Is there such a one tonight? The work of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit knows where you are. The work of the Holy Spirit is to move on the heart of the individual. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you tonight. Is there such a one? Pray for me that I might follow the Lord. Pray for me that I might recommit my life to the Lord. Is there such a one? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the witness. We thank you for those who have listened. We thank you, Lord God, for the blessed Holy Spirit, who will use something from your word on the heart of somebody. We pray, God, that it will come to pass that that person will surrender to you and start a new life to worship and to praise you. Show mercy tonight, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Father, we...